All right, there we go. There we go. Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm not sure if you just heard, but we just started the recording. My name's Andy Marks, here calling from Hoboken, New Jersey tonight, joined by my co-host, Jess. You there?
Hey, y'all.
She's in Denver, I believe, today. To give you all a little bit of the same spiel many of you've heard over 100 times, Jess and I had the luxury of meeting at what was our first LHON conference in June of 2014. We've had a total of 101 plus 6, 107. Tonight is our 108th LHON live call ever. We've been doing this every month since August of 2014. Because at that first LHON conference for the two of us, like many of you who just attended your first conference back in Charlotte only a week ago, we quickly realized how beneficial it was to connect with other people in this LHON community. While our experiences are very unique when compared to people around us, they're pretty similar to a lot of folks who have LHON or who are a part of this community across the globe. And we really benefit from connecting, sharing stories, sharing tips, advice, being there for each other, being shoulders and hands to hold each other at times. And so we wanted to find a way for us to kind of tap into that benefit throughout the year without having to fly across the country every month to kind of tap in and benefit from those friendships and relationships that we've connected through here. So in August of that year, we had our first LHON live call. These calls have been through countless versions since then, from guest speakers to different topics being covered every month. Many of those calls, I think over 100 calls, you can actually find at LHON.org. So if you want to spend probably most of the time between now and our next LHON live call next month, you could listen to all of those calls. But in short, we spend this time every month bringing up topics of interest to folks here. So I'll ask you all to kind of rack your brains for areas of interest you want us to talk about. The big thing we will talk about today is kind of things and topics worth sharing from the conference that many of you were just at. For those who don't know, there's an LHON conference in the US every year. This year it was held in Charlotte between I'm going to say the 29th and the 29th of June through the 1st of July, something like that. And so many of the callers here tonight were at their first conference or at their 10th conference. And we will be hearing from many of them about things that they learned, things that they enjoyed, stories to share, relationships that were formed. The only things that we sometimes have a bit of caution around on these calls are related to areas that we probably are not experts on. Those more often than not are medical advice, but sometimes include legal advice or employment advice. We're happy to take any kind of question, but if it tends down an area that maybe we think you'd be better suited asking someone else who's not on this call those questions, we will help you find those specific folks. In addition to these calls, many of you know this already, but I'll go ahead and make a quick plug here and we'll give another plug at the end. There are many different LHON calls each month, some related to specific regions from the Midwest to the Southwest to Florida specifically, and every region of the US and other countries in between, as well as assistive technology calls or employment calls or calls for specific demographics or age groups or genders. So if this LHON live call doesn't meet your needs or you don't like listening to my voice, there are lots of other calls you can join and listen to better sounding voices. With that, the last thing I will say is that these calls are every month. And with this exception, and I believe one other time in the 9 years we've been doing these calls, they are always the first Wednesday of every month at the exact same time at the exact same number. So the first Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Eastern here in the U.S., 5 p.m. Pacific. We moved this call given the 4th of July holiday. But typically, they will be the first Wednesday of every month, which I normally wait until the end of the month to say this. But or sorry, end of the call, but I'll go ahead and let you know that next month's call, in case you have to step away, is going to be August 2nd at 8 p.m. After that longer than usual spiel, Jess, how are you?
Great. I was actually going to add to it and make it longer, is that a preview, and I won't officially announce this yet because it's not confirmed, but we potentially have a guest speaker for our August call. So it'll be great. So keep your eye out for the LH1 emails that come out, but also when there's some feedback back there. And then also for any Facebook postings that we'll have, as we will talk about our guest speaker. So just a sneak peek into that.
On that note, we're always constantly accepting feedback on these calls. So if there are specific guest speakers you'd like to nominate to join us for calls at any point in time, or topics you'd like us to cover, you can always reach out to me, mine, and Danny Marks. You can find me any number of places, but Facebook, text message, all of those are great ways to reach me. You can even send me messages on TikTok. But if you want to reach out to me, my name is Andy Marks. Jessica Loomer is her last name. Or you can find other folks on this group, and they know how to reach us as well. So with that, Jess, how are things in Denver?
Things are pretty great. It is super warm and sunny here, which I think we all were kind of bragging on the heat. I was going to share that I was sitting in front of the air conditioning vent when John Coughlin joined, talking about the heat. So, but life is pretty great around here. We're getting back into a routine after doing lots of travel between North Carolina. And then I went home to visit family in Arizona. And so, yeah, we're just hanging out. And I actually have a delicious chicken pot pie that I'm making that's cooking in the oven. So I would say life is great. What about you, Randy?
Well, you know, I'm not cooking a chicken pot pie. Everyone knows that. But I'm hanging out here with my little dog and enjoying some air conditioning as well. It's in the 90s here in the New York City area today, which is warmer than I prefer it to be. But I went to the office to be cooler than I would have been in my apartment today. So all is good.
Smart.
With that, I know you were at the conference, and I know you and I have spoken a little bit on this, but I purposefully didn't ask many questions. Do you mind? I know there are folks on this call who've never been at a conference before, giving us a quick overview of what is involved in a conference, not the work involved, although I know there's tons of that we could have folks talk about for well over an hour. But what types of sessions do we have? What are the benefits and aspects of a conference that are worthwhile to share with the folks here who maybe haven't experienced that yet? I know we're a year from the next conference, but still it's worthwhile as we kind of talk about this last conference.
Ooh, T-minus 1 year for the next conference. I would love to go on and on about conference and tell you all about my favorite things, but I'm actually going to hand it over to the chairperson to kind of answer that question for you, Andy.
Hey, Maria, how are you? Welcome, welcome.
Good, good, good. Hey, everyone. Thanks, Jessica. Although I know you could talk just as well about it than me. But we had an amazing conference, and I just kind of zoomed in and looked at all the names, and I see who's here, and I'm super excited to hear from everyone on their thoughts and experiences that they had at this particular conference that we just came back from. The conference is a place that you can take these Zoom calls to the next level, and you can meet people in person. That is first and foremost one of the hugest benefits of actually traveling to a conference, obviously. You know, we have a robust agenda. We fill it with panels and speakers and presentations. This year, as we do most every year, we had two Living with LH1 panels that were magnificent, of people telling their stories, all the way from affected folks. We had a spouse on there giving her perspective. And we also had a mom of two affected sons giving her perspective, and the impact that all of them had really came through during the weekend. People were making comments and giving feedback to not only those folks, but also to myself, saying, wow, you don't even know what it meant to have that person speak and say, you know, X, Y, and Z. So the impact was immediate on some of these panels. We also had a great panel of navigating employment with LH1, which was run by Jessica Loomer, and it was amazing. A lot of great conversation there. We also had LH1 Science where Lissa Poinsano spoke along with Dr. Chonopolsky and also Dr. The name Mays, Lissa, the last name gets me every time. Diary. Yes, yeah. Diary. And they were both very different and both super interesting. They spoke to the attendees. They didn't go too above head. They spoke about things that were very interesting to everybody. So it was a great session. We also had a community update where we talked about our community, about the LHON live events, about conference, but also took it again to another level where we had Chris Marsh, Melinda Marsh, and Jerry Laurie talk about the up-and-coming LHON collective nonprofit that has been formed and that you'll be hearing more of. Again, always great news of what has been going on, but also what the future holds for the LHON community. We also had a positive mindset coach that did a session, which everybody could get something out of. And we had coffee and conversation Saturday morning where everyone came into the room with their coffee and their, you know, little bit of breakfast. And we had tables of people from an assistive technology program based in North Carolina who brought equipment for people to check out and use. We had representatives from the Metrolina Association of the Blind that could talk about low vision specialists, occupational therapy, and just provide any kind of resources in general to folks. We also had information about the data collection program, the DCP that we're doing now for a medical registry. We had talked a little bit more about LHON Collective, and we also had Robin Lanzi there talking about a program she's very involved in that is the National Health for Physical Activity and Disabilities information. And so it was wonderful having those people to talk with, yet everyone could also have conversation and connections among themselves. And the room was packed, which I was so thrilled because it was started at 8 o'clock in the morning. We ended the day with a raffle. And we gave out some really great prizes to folks, and that's always fun. And then, of course, lunchtime and breaks, and after the banquet we have on Friday night with the UMDF, we have the connection just among the LHON community, the LHON new friends and old friends, people getting to know each other, people reconnecting, who maybe haven't seen each other in 4 or 5 or 6 years since the last conference people attended. And then Saturday we had a post-conference gathering. There was a rooftop bar, which was pretty popular. We had other hotel rooms that had people kind of gathering in them. And that's just our time to kick off our heels and really relax and decompress from a very packed 2.5 days. And kind of, we love spending every minute we can with each other. And we did just that. So that's what is involved in a conference. And we make it as accessible as we can. We try to make it so that folks who have vision loss, such as the affected, can make their way around as easily as possible if they're traveling alone. And we try to make everyone feel just that, not alone. And that the conference may not be somewhere you wanted to be. Like, you know, we may not have wanted to be in this whole world here, but it's the place you belong. And that was my goal, to make people feel supported, connected, and belong. And I think we accomplished that this year. And I'll say right now, our next conference, which I don't have the dates, but it's the last weekend in June, is in Cleveland, Ohio. So we will be promoting it. I'll be putting a post just to put it on your calendar in the next week. But for those of you, I heard a new gal, she lives in Ohio. It's going to be great. And I really think it's going to be even better than this year. And I've heard little bits and pieces of people are like, we're going to make it happen. We're going to make this part of our summer plans next year and the year after and the year after and the year after, if they possibly can. So I would love if Andy and Jessica would allow it. I would love for folks to speak up and talk about their experience and maybe what they thought was the great takeaway or a panel or something somebody said, or, you know, just the overall experience for them. If they would love to talk about that, if that's okay.
Sure. Yeah. I'd love to open the dialogue up, Maria. Just looking at the calendar, it looks like the last Thursday in June next year will be June 27th. So yep. right around there yep. to kick off the conference next year, yep. probably there in Ohio. Yep.
27 yes. to 29. You got it.
Yep. Yep.
Thank you, Andy. Thank you. Yes. Of course. That's it.
So I'll go ahead and open up the conversation. I mean, but I don't want it to just be for folks who are at this year's conference. If you happen to have not been at the conference and have questions about the conference, or if you've been at prior conferences and would like to share something, a takeaway you have. Again, these calls always, we want to make them most beneficial to the folks who are here. We have a giant group of people here tonight. I want to make sure it's useful to folks here. But as always, whether you're new or have been on these calls over 100 times, this is only one avenue to kind of communicate with folks who are part of this community. And I encourage you to find other ways to contact individuals who may form those relationships that we all benefit from within the Electron community. But with that, I'll open it up to anyone who has questions about conference or things they learned from the conference this year or other years.
This is Chad Lewis. And my mom was one of the gals that spoke on the second panel. And she was amazing. So it was, I was the very shy one in the corner. I'm not sure if any of you guys met me.
I did.
That was sarcasm. Did you get that?
Yeah. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. No, I thought it was really neat how you kind of added that to it. Especially having, hopefully my brother will show up with us next year. So, but I've already reached out to three families that have children that weren't there, just to kind of give them, someone to talk to down the road. So they haven't texted me back yet. So, but it was a great event put on by all of you guys, and you should be very proud of yourselves for making this get bigger and bigger each year. So.
Hey guys,
thank you, Chad.
Mm-hmm. Hey everyone, it's Danny Orr and Terry's here with me. I also got to speak on the panel, which was amazing, just being a part of. And I was the spouse of Terry, my husband, who's here, he's affected. And like the feedback I got from that was fantastic. So I'm really glad that, you know, being a part of it kind of reached out to other people, but it also definitely impacted me as well. It was very heartwarming. But I just want to kind of tell everyone who hasn't been there that just a brief story is Terry was affected in 2018. And when he was first affected, Lissa reached out to us and she's like, hey, you got to come to this conference. It's in 2 weeks. And at the time we were just like, I don't know. That's like kind of soon. We're processing what's going on. So we didn't go, but then we put it on our calendar for the following year. And we first went in 2019 in Washington, D.C. or Alexandria. And it was amazing. Like we walked out of that place and I was just like, I never want to leave these people. I want to spend the rest of my time that I possibly can with them. The connections that you make and the in-person like friendships and just the family feeling that you get from it is unlike anything else. Like you can get information, like conference information from YouTube videos and stuff like that. But until you're there in person and get that connection, that in-person family feeling, it's unlike anything else. And then obviously we had COVID, so we didn't get to go for a couple of years. So this was our first year back, but we definitely both agree that the conference was fantastic as usual. I think Maria did a fantastic job and we're putting on our calendar for every year going forward.
Amen.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I want to make a quick note while I'm thinking about it. Audio recordings. We audio recorded every session along with the PowerPoint slides so that the folks that weren't able to make it this year can absolutely dive into our sessions and get the full information that we put out there. They aren't available yet, but I will be posting in the Facebook groups that when they are ready and up and available on the YouTube channel. So, hang tight. They're still working on them and it's just going to take a little bit of time, but you know, if you weren't there, you will get all of it that we put out there during our conference agenda. So just putting that out there too.
I'm sure the latest is the greatest in this case, Maria, but for those folks who are hungry and eager and impatient, there's lots of materials from prior conferences out there if you want to dive deep and watch and enjoy the conversations from the panels and of the journeys of folks who are affected by LHON, but also many other sessions that have been taken or that have taken place over the years. So lots of information there and more to come.
This is Wayne. I loved all the panels. I love true stories, which everybody is up there. And I love emotion. And Danny, that was wonderful. And Chad, your mom, that was great. And Richard, and the one lady in the back, Stephanie, from down here in Florida, talking about her 13-year-old son. And meeting Karina. Karina, are you on the call?
She was
going to be here, but
I am on the call.
But meeting you after, when did I talk to you? How long ago was that?
That was when my dad had just connected with Lissa, and I was in all sorts of a mess because I was just diagnosed and didn't know what to do. And you kind of answered all my questions, and I was just full of anxiety because that was that part where they're just informing you of what's going to happen and you haven't really started to lose your sight yet.
Yeah. So Lissa whisked you up to me and I'm like, you know, of course I can't see. I'm like, is this a little girl or a woman or a lady? But you were all three, I guess. But I love getting to meet you. And you're on the call. Paul and Jerry. I talked to Paul early on. A couple years ago, I guess. I don't know. And just hit it off right off the bat. And to meet him in person, it just kicks it up quite a few notches. But
thank you, Wayne.
And everybody else, you're more than welcome.
I would have to agree with Wayne on a lot of things. I think the conference was it was very emotional for me. Meeting Lissa was just, I mean, it was so, I mean, and Wayne, as you as well. I mean, the first two people I had talked to with after being diagnosed, it was just so special to me. And then I've already met, the Georgia group, and that was just such a blessing, and seeing them again was amazing. And there was no sense of insecurity. You just all felt it was one great, the live calls are just one thing. But getting to meet everyone in person and being around everyone that had the same thing. And, you know, it's like everyone was just understood.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar, like what Danny said, meeting people in person and just those little connections of just like introducing yourself at the Starbucks coffee cart, you know, or having somebody reach over and hand you a Danish or something at the breakfast thing. It's just, and then you start talking to them and, you know, found out. This one lady, Stephanie, I mean, my gosh, she lives 20 miles from us in a little town near us that I'm very familiar with. And she also lives down in a city that I lived in for 25 years. They have two homes that go back and forth. And just being able to kind of connect with her like that and see kind of how it made a bit of a difference, I think, just because it was her first conference. There are a lot of people who it was their first conference and they're still raw with the diagnosis. And so, yeah, like Danny said, you it's a completely different thing. Everybody there understands you. You really do feel like a family. And I'll say the one thing I found was fascinating that I found out at the conference, the one doctor who said that mitochondria was probably originally a virus that somehow got into our system. And then it, I guess it became sort of a symbiotic relationship. So I just thought that was kind of cool. But
I agree. Anyway. It was very interesting.
Yeah, it was. It was. So, but we loved it. We loved it. We love seeing everybody. And yes, like Danny, this is our first conference back since 2019, just because of COVID and all that. But we will be in Cleveland next year, and hopefully it'll be cool up there because we are quite a bit further north. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And yeah, and you know, Danny spoke, Susie's spoken, and you know, with the conference, sure, there's quite a big group of affecteds, and we all get each other. We're all like, we know what each other's doing and why we're looking at our phones up to our face, that kind of thing. But having the partners and spouses have other folks who are in the exact same position is super important as well. And other moms, like Chad's, you know, Lewis's mom, other moms were there with their affected children. And they could relate to the moms. Dads, there were, you know, Tony Wright and Jim Tolvey were on the dads call. They were both there and speaking to other dads. And I know that even my partner, Jim, it's his second year at a conference. He was even connecting with some of the other husbands and spouses. And because, you know what, they have their own, you know, connection. And so it really is a mix and mingle of everybody in every position within this community and within the family. So it really is for everybody.
Marie, I just want to agree and kind of add to a little bit of what you just said there. Basically, reasons why this is useful for lots of folks. One thing you already said, which is there's a lot of relating to people that others get to do at these conferences outside of just the people who are affected. I know my wife, for instance, I won't name names beyond her, but has remarked on the fact that there are people at this conference she's seen, whether it's at the conference or when I hang out with other folks who have LHON outside of the conference, remarking on the fact that they do things similar to me, or remarking on things that they may do different than I do, and asking me if I'd like to try the things that she's seen others do. But in the same vein, I know there are folks who are affected by LHON whose community members, I'm choosing my words carefully here, maybe sometimes don't always do exactly what they wish they did. And they have a hard time saying that to those family members. And for that reason, I think some people who are affected by LHON benefit from bringing some of those family members to the conference and kind of being surrounded by other folks whose family members, friends, partners, spouses, whatever it may be, children, even in some cases, have a different way of assisting in a way that I think is really powerful and beneficial. I think all of that visibility and exposure to how a lot of us deal with having LHON or just broadly vision loss is really helpful to anyone and everyone who's part of the LHON community, whether affected or not, by being at these conferences. So while I wasn't at the conference this year, I certainly know how powerful that can be.
Yeah, so I want to jump in here because as somebody who, some of you have met Rosie, and it's getting kind of dark here, so if the light's becoming a problem, but some of you met Rosie down in Charlotte, plus Scott, and Scott started going blind a little over a year ago, like right now, he started going blind, and so we started, you know, as we started to understand what was going on, we started poking into the community. And it was Alyssa who went first connected with Rosie, or Rosie connected with Alyssa, or so on. And back in March of this year, and I know it was March, Alyssa, because Rosie connected you and I when I was down in Palm Springs for a very different kind of event. But that's when we first found out about the conference. And as somebody who goes to conferences probably half a dozen times per year over the last decade, you know, this one kind of grabbed me, and it was like, I think you and Scott should think about it. And Scott went, and Scott, and by the way, Scott's not with us right now. He's upstairs. But I don't think he'd be surprised by what I'm going to say. Scott was struggling with coming. He did not want to get on the airplane and come. And once he got there, the level of connection totally changed that, right? Because it wasn't about some theoretical kind of thing or whatever. It was about connecting and understanding and compassion and community and whatever. And as somebody goes to so many conferences, I don't often get this level of thing that happens, this level of community.
Connection, yeah.
And so for me personally, I'm like really excited that it's in Cleveland next year, because that's an easy drive for us. It's only 5-6 hours from here. We've done it many times with a different organization. So I will be there next year. And in fact, I will be reaching out to some people. I'm not sure who. Rosie will help me figure that out, because it's like, how do I contribute to this? I'm a conference speaker. I'm a life coach. I'm a dad. I'm connected to this. I'm a husband, and so on.
Maria's putting her hands up.
Yeah. Maria, we'll talk. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
But it's like, in whatever way, shape, or form, I don't care. I want to contribute, because as somebody who doesn't actually have LOHN, but is very much connected to it, how do I help?
There's also a dad's call that you might want to join.
I'm already a part of that, John.
You've done that's good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Johnny beat me to it. It's awesome.
I'm going to miss the next one, because we're going to be camping. So.
There.
Hey
guys,
this is
Megan.
Go ahead, Megan.
Oh no, I just wanted to say really quickly, I'm so sorry I could not make it, and literally my husband and I are pretty devastated we couldn't be there with people. We had 3 canceled flights, had to stay in a hotel at the airport, and just had a really crummy time trying to get there, and just could not get there. But I'm, you know, we're both pretty devastated. We could not spend some time with people. So we are so looking forward to next year. And if anyone is ever in New York, please let me know. And I'd be happy to meet you in the city.
Well, Megan, I'll go ahead and say that we need to get a group here together, and I need to meet you in person. But at the same time, I want to go ahead and piggyback on one thing you're saying there, which I totally understand you wishing you'd been at the conference. But I also want to recognize that there are people on this call, and there are people on this call who haven't been able to be at conferences, and maybe they even know they aren't able to be at the conference next year. And I want you all to know that that's okay. No one here is ever aiming to make anyone have any degree of guilt for not making it to conferences. That's the last thing we want you to feel. We want everyone to know that the benefits that we've all experienced at conferences. I'll go ahead and say I've been to a conference since before COVID, and I recognize that there are reasons that I have for that. And I wouldn't want anyone to feel like and only because we are talking about all the benefits here today, I want everyone to understand that a lot of those benefits can be gleaned through other means, even if only a fraction as powerful as being at the conference. And we want to help you all do that as well, and empower you all to take advantage of this community any way you can, whether that's in person through a conference, or in person through other means through your regional networks, or virtually in some way or fashion. Don't want anyone to feel guilty, although Megan, that sounds like quite the devastating experience you went through, and I hate that for you, but at the same time, I don't want anyone else here to feel guilty. If you know you can't make it to a future conference, we'll get you there when we can.
I want to say one more thing about Danny up on the panel, and how I really enjoyed listening to her side of it as a spouse of an affected, of Terry, and how she gets so emotional and how she needed time for herself. And I understood that, because I get frustrated. I talked to some other people, maybe it was Jeff, John Walters, I'm not sure, Paul, but I get frustrated with myself that I can't do something. And it sounds like when I say something to Susie that I'm being angry. And it's not that. I'm frustrated with myself. I'm not putting it on you, but it sounds that way. And all of us affected understood it, but Danny was very emotional, and I love that. I understood what she was saying.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Terry's mom.
Hi, Terry's mom. We can hear you.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Danny, remember what I said that I say sometimes? I'm just having a bad blind day.
Yeah, and that's I told Terry that. I was just like, I'm going to need you to use that line because sometimes it's hard to differentiate if you're mad at me or just having a bad blind day. So I'm like, yeah. Terry, just use that line. I like that.
Yeah.
But I'm glad. Wayne, thank you for pointing that out. And I'm glad that it was helpful for a lot of you folks.
Sometimes there's lots of communication that we need as part of the LHON community that others don't rely on as much. And there are times where, I mean, this is the case for lots of things, but certainly the case for us, and I'll use the word disability for myself. I'm not putting that label on any of you, but as someone with a disability, there are times where others want to help us, and we may or may not want that help at that point in time, or we may or may not be frustrated with something that isn't controllable by someone else. And I think it's fine to be vulnerable. It's great to be vulnerable. And yet that's something that others aren't necessarily used to. So using whatever language that individual partners or spouses or friends or family are accustomed to using, I think learning that language that works for individuals can be really powerful in that way.
Yeah. And
the other thing I'd want to just give forgiveness to folks who are surrounding and loved ones of folks who are affected by LHON, that it isn't when we're having bad blind days, that isn't necessarily a problem that you need to solve or feel guilty for or have anything but understanding, empathy, sympathy, whatever we want to call it, and patience as much as anything. I mean, you mentioned it, Wayne, that like there are folks on this call that are not affected but want nothing more than to help people who are there. I'll go so far as to say that sometimes that help can be smothering, and sometimes we just need a little space and time to be to a new day or a new hour that's a better blind day or a better blind hour or whatever that is. So
yeah, Andy, one more point on that. It's Danny again. I was just gonna say big key point to that is it takes time. Like Terry and I have been through this for 5 years now, and I mean, we didn't have this figured out in the first couple of years, that's for sure. So definitely for folks, if you're new to this, just give yourself some grace, give yourself some time, whether you're affected or you're the spouse, because it's a learning curve.
And it's different for everyone. I mean, what might take someone 5 years could take others 10. I know couples who have been together 20 years and probably could have this conversation as if it had never been had before.
It never ends.
Andy, a good saying that someone once told me was to be harmless, don't be helpful. Because sometimes being helpful can cause more harm. If that makes sense.
Sure. No, I appreciate it. I think that can be a lot of husbands could hear that in terms of problems that their wives bring home. I think that this goes outside of just vision loss and all these types of things. Sometimes we all should be taking that advice. I too find myself wanting to solve problems for people, whether it's vision related or not. So sometimes it's best just to be an ear.
Sometimes I just want you to listen.
Yeah. And sometimes what you require is something that only someone else can give. And that's the luxury of this LHON community or the conference or whatever it may be. It's okay. And it's not a failure of loved ones if something that someone who's affected by LHON needs is to connect with other folks with LHON. That's not a bad thing. And yet we all need to find what it is we need and kind of lean on that when we need it. I will remind everyone, because I didn't say at the top of the call, am I still here? I think I'm still here.
You're still here.
At the top of the hour. So if any folks have questions that they don't want to be part of the recording, hang around. We'll make sure to have the recording turned off in the next 5 or 10 minutes or so, so you have an opportunity to ask us questions. I don't want folks to think that they should just leave if they have questions that they don't, that they aren't comfortable being recorded. But we like to record as much as we can, so folks who are maybe on other parts of the world or in other parts of the world are busy for some reason tonight are still able to take advantage of what we have to share.
And I do want to share, there are a couple people on the call that are new. So hang tight. You have like probably one of the best crowds we could ever offer. So if you do have questions and you're new, hang tight. and all the folks that have been on the call today. And so we can, if we can help out some new folks at the end of the call, that'd be wonderful.
This is John Chandler. This was my first conference, and I really enjoyed the conference.
Awesome. It was so nice to meet you, John.
Nice to meet you. So I enjoyed meeting a lot of the people and having breakfast with a few of the attendees, you know, after Saturday, you know, and meeting all the doctors, specialists, and all the panels. I loved a lot of the panels because there's so much to do, so little time.
Right, right. Need to leave you wanting more, John.
Yep, I needed more. Make a 5-day conference. I don't know.
This is Chloe Duff, and it was also my first conference. And so it was very emotional and also very inspiring. I had a great time, and I really loved the panel. Yeah, it was a really great time. I enjoyed it.
Who was that? I'm sorry, speaking.
Oh, it's okay. Chloe Duffy.
Okay. Thanks for being here, Chloe.
Yeah.
I love meeting Wayne for the first time. And Susie.
Enjoy meeting you too, brother.
Well, this is John. All I want to say is I had even a better time at the second conference than I did the first one last year. It's just an amazing experience. Just meeting people and sharing experiences. That's what's, you know, it's just a little different when you see people in person. It really is.
Oh, definitely. And I will say, for folks who are frequent callers to LHO and live, you get the opportunity to meet a bunch of people in person that you've only ever heard the voices of.
I was gonna echo that. I finally got to meet Wayne and Susie. I finally got to meet Jessica Knight, you know, so it's good. It was good.
Well, what's so crazy about that is that, like, it's not like, oh, hi, my name's Jessica, and you feel like you have to do a quick intro. You're like, oh my God, it's John, and you just run up and go hug him. It's like that. It's not like a casual meeting. It's just like, oh my gosh, it's like you haven't seen him in years, and you're like, oh, thank goodness to finally see you.
Exactly. It's so crazy.
Yeah, really, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, like you skip that kind of awkward introduction.
Yeah, you're telling me.
Yeah, just go.
I mean, between this call and the Southeast calls, I mean, I've talked to Jessica, you know, a lot. Yeah, and Facebook. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, finally meet. It's amazing, you know?
And I want to say that it's not just meeting people that you've just only maybe heard on the calls or something like that. A lot of people, I mean, I walked up to people who I did not recognize at all, and they've only been affected for a couple of months. And so they came, they knew nobody, but that's what it's about. You go up and you introduce yourself to people, especially people who look like they're kind of lost and maybe they don't know what's going on, you know? And so if you haven't been to a conference, it's not just everybody getting together that already knows everybody. Feel free. You come to the conference and people will reach out to you, and you'll just be sort of enveloped into the family like everybody else.
So. That's a really good point, Susie, there. I mean, I would say this is a community of people that likes to help each other out, which is why many of us have been doing this for well over a decade, some well over 2 decades. We want to take the knowledge that we have and help others who are going through this. But also it's helpful to ourselves to kind of do that mentally and in every other way. So.
Yeah. And I'm going to build on what's being said, and this may not be fair because Scott's not sitting here, but about a week ago, I asked Scott, for those that met him down in Charlotte, I asked him, what was the most, I think the question I asked was, what was the most noteworthy part of the conference? Not what did he learn, what's the biggest aha, like none of that. What was the most noteworthy? And the very first thing he talked about was the people. Like the people he connected with. And for someone who's still struggling, he's in his first year, like that was huge. And so as a dad who's not personally affected, but there, of course, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It says a lot about all of you in this community.
It was a pleasure meeting him and your wife.
Yes, for sure.
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
I would say your son's takeaway has been echoed for the past 10 years by most folks who go to the conference. No offense to the doctors and all of those great connections and the learnings we have.
Yes. But
the most meaningful piece is the connections and the relationships that are formed and the path that others see forward as a result of seeing the other lives that are led by folks who are affected by LHON. So,
yeah.
And the people and that Rosie, the people that share their stories on the Living with Lawn panels, because everyone that was on those panels shared just a different perspective, and made you laugh, made you cry, made you share their experience. It was just it's an amazing process. But I mean, I could say that after 2 years, it really affects you.
Makes you feel like you're not alone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is Maria. When I first, my Jim and I were walking out to go into Charlotte on Wednesday, and an Uber pulled up. Rosie knows the story. Yeah. And an Uber pulled up, and Scott got out, and Jim goes, "Hey, there's another blind guy." And I'm like, the cane came whipping out, and I go, "How do you know?" And he goes, "He has a cane." I'm like, of course I know him, you know, because we know all blind people. And I go, well, he must be here for the conference, but I don't know. What do I do? You know, and then Rosie got out. And so they're getting their bags out. It happened to be the same Uber that was picking us up from the hotel that was dropping them off. So I walk on over there with my cane to go, "Hey, you're blind. I'm blind. Hi, are you here for the LHON conference?" "Yes, we are." And it was Rosie and Scott. I'm like, "Hi, I'm Maria. I'm the chair. This is Jim." And it was just that welcome. Like, there's just no, you know, you don't hold back. You just go, "I'm so glad you're here. Hi. Oh my gosh. What are the, you know, we're switching Ubers. What are the chances?" And of course the Uber driver's like, "What are the chances I have two blind people in a day?" I go, like, but it was even that first moment outside the hotel, getting out of an Uber, there's just that, "Hi, oh my gosh, you're here for LHON as well." Boom, connected, boom. I mean, that's the way it is.
That really helped, Scott, because it was a tough journey, a flight where the first time being blind on a flight, it was stressful.
So there's a lot of anxiety. I'm sure there's people on here that, you know, flying, I still get a lot of anxiety because you can't quite make out what's going on. I don't fly that much, but you know, you can't quite tell who's around you. You don't know who's walking around you, who's sitting next to you, besides your family member. There's a lot to that alone. And they've talked about that on this particular call, travel, many, many times. So he's definitely not alone in that as well. Yeah. I'm sure a lot of people could attest to that. But it was pretty funny that we
greet us.
Yeah, it was. I didn't realize I was also the greeting committee at the same time. So. It was awesome. It was a great, you know, coincidence, if you will, just to run into each other like that.
I know we're right closing in on top of the hour, but I do want to get any last remarks from folks. I mean, clearly the consensus here is that the conferences are super meaningful and a way to spark lots of connections and a way to capitalize on connections that have been made prior to those conferences. Looking forward to those videos being posted for all of us who haven't been able or weren't able to be there this year. Any final thoughts from folks before we get the recording turned off? Jessica, if you want to go ahead and get that list of calls up, we'll make sure we plug that before we turn the recording off too.
Wonderful.
This is Julie. I was just going to say that I think then like another really cool part about it, which to your point, Andy, it's at the conference and it's not at the conference. It's both, but I think it is kind of really nice to be able to connect with people and find the connection beyond just the LHON. Like, it's cool that it gets us there, but then you kind of get to meet people who are you know, either local to you, or my fiance was loving getting to meet everyone that's similar to me. And, you know, Scott and Rose, you guys are from Canada. He's Canadian. Like, that was exciting. It's, so I think it's like exciting to find like, okay, this is what got us here, but it's also not everything that we have in common. When Jessica Loomers, he made a coffee for her. And she was like, I love being around guys that are dating blind girls, because he was like putting the lid on it and like doing every part for her. But it's like, that part's really fun. It kind of creates another connection.
I love that. That's, and I don't want to say this point is exclusively that, but this is something that a lot of people with LHON recognize here quickly, that, wow, we're having conversations about things that aren't about being blind, but every once in a while you're reminded of that. And it's really, really cool. I want to count myself among your age cohort here. Julie, and say that I see those conversations in the corners of conferences quite often, where it's younger couples saying, hey, this is really cool to just like not just be talking about that, but to still be around folks who share that in common.
And like there's so many things that you can find in common with other people.
Exactly. Totally. Exactly.
Jetta's my
I love that you called it out.
Jetta's my blind sister.
That's right. Blind sisters. Yeah, it's Jetta, but, Sage and I, we went to the conference this year, and it was our second time going. And it's just so nice, like Julie said, just meeting people and connecting on a different level. We both have left now each time with just a sense of like relief and peace, because you're around people who get you, and then they become instant friends because it's so easy. You know, you're automatically connected with someone because of something, you know, kind of tragic that's happened to you in your life. But you find that, you know, you're meeting people, and it's such a good thing. So yeah, it was great. We loved meeting everyone.
Hey, I had a wonderful time meeting everyone. This was my first one. I guess I needed it to be in Charlotte for me to finally pull the trigger on that, you know, but, it was wonderful. It was wonderful meeting everyone, seeing how much work everyone puts into it, how much everyone really cares and does for the community. It was good listening to the doctors, the research, all that kind of stuff. And then all of the unique experiences. I think I was talking to a couple people, and it just spanned through so many different areas. Like someone said, like the LHON community, like affected people tend to still be pretty active in a lot of things. You know, a lot of people are in archery and mechanics, like building high performance vehicles and other very, very interesting, very cool things, you know. So I think it's not as limiting, you know, and it's cool to find out that there's other things that people are doing that are outside of that norm, you know, outside of that specific thing. So I thought that was very cool. And you do share something with someone that a lot of times, you know, for the longest time, for, you know, like, it was just, hey, this is so rare, there's no one else like you, you know. So, you know, I mean, I guess I stopped being special when I met you guys, but it was quite cool, you know, quite cool to see that, hey, you guys can't see me that well either, you know. So that facial recognition isn't really there, you know, like those colors, you know. That's probably why blue's my favorite color, because I can't see it that well, you know. I thought I just like blue, but all the other ones look a little gray, you know. So it was pretty interesting, and just a lot of different areas, from careers, from interesting things people are doing. And then I even had someone who asked me, like, hey, does, you know, like, I've been affected for, you know, a fair amount of time, and have had to deal with a lot, like, with you know, by myself and with the support of such a great family that I have. But they said, does it get better? And you know, it was interesting, because, you know, it's been so long that you don't necessarily think about that in that way anymore, you know. You just accept it, and you just understand it, and you're doing so many other things that it doesn't matter as much, you know. But I do recall those days. I do recall that initial phase of it, and that uncertainty, and those different feelings. And there wasn't really a big Facebook group for it, or a regular meeting. So it was interesting to share that, you know, share that yeah, it does get better. And there's so many other options and avenues, not the best outcome, but
as far as having it, but you just deal with it, you know, and move on, you know. So that's my
live
bit.
Your life.
Maybe it's a little long, but thought I'd share that.
No, that's Eric, great, I'm really Eric. Glad.
Oh, great!
I'm really glad you shared that, Eric. I mean, I think what you pointed out about seeing the different, we'll call it opportunities, but really pathways that what people who have LHON or vision loss more broadly are able to do and accomplish, and the lifestyles they lead. That's important for all of us who may suffer from vision loss, but it's also to me just as important or impactful for our loved ones to kind of see that, to in some ways challenge some of their mindsets they have at times. So just wanted to call that out as well, but I'm glad you chimed in here. I really appreciate you being here.
I wanted to real quick jump on Eric's comment too. This is Lisa. Eric, as I was leaving the conference when it was over, it was really nice because I chatted with Paul and Karen, and Paul just out of the blue said, spending a few minutes with you, Eric, and you were helping him do something technically with his phone, and just how much what you showed him, a couple of tricks and tips on how to use his phone, just absolutely made everything easier for him. And it's just, you never know what you're going to say or do that's going to be what someone else is going to report as the most powerful thing that happened to them. So I just wanted you to know that you were a powerful helper to someone else, which is always kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for saying that. And his wife did say, hey, are you a teacher by trade? And like, no, I'm figuring this out along with you. You know, like, this is not a prepared lesson. Bear with me. Let's figure this out together. But having the same condition, I knew all the different things that he would benefit from and the specific things that he would be able to just make a big difference. You know, the ones that I use. So even meeting, I think it was a fellow named Spencer or a couple other people like in line or other things, like, oh, you're having trouble with that? Oh, I figured that out, I don't know, 10 years ago, you know, 10, 12, 15 years ago. And I'm not necessarily doing, it's not because I'm any better, but I just had a little, a longer time to figure it out. Let me help you out, you know? And I think a lot of times, you know, if I didn't have someone at that moment to help me, even though I've had a, you know, great family and a community to help me and where I'm from, it's like, hey, finding those little moments that are going to be super helpful. So it was my pleasure to work with, you know, Paul, Spencer, a couple other guys to make that difference. You know, I was trying to be as helpful as possible, you know.
I have to comment on Lisa's comment. And Eric, it was really nice meeting you as well. I met, it was the night that I was talking to, is Julie still on the call?
Yeah, I'm still on the phone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just want to say thank you for the airport advice that you also gave me. I flew for the first time. I missed, my flight was canceled on the way. And I had a friend that was willing to drive me. And, but I did fly on the way home and I was, you know, after meeting everyone, my confidence levels were so high and I was like, I got this. This is going to be so easy. And no, it's not. I did not expect Charlotte to be such a large airport. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no one really had the time to help out. And every, you know, one person comes out and they're like, oh, you're going to A gates. It's a big red sign. What red sign? Like, it'd be really helpful if it was blue. But I did your advice and they were just more than kind. And I mean, walked me to my seat. I got upgraded to first class and I was like, okay. Julie's correct.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
That was extremely helpful. Cause it was, that anxiety really started to set in because you don't know where to go. And I was the last person on my flight. I barely missed it because I was just so all over the place. But yeah, I just want to say thank you for that one.
So do you mean, of course, but do you mean you just like, you asked at the gate for assistance getting to to your seat, like to your gate?
I just took your advice and went to, I was like, I need to get a TSA. What is it, TSA?
Yeah, I mean, I think, or like the check-in counter, either one.
Yep. And they, after trying to do it on my own,
yeah, I gave up and I was like, I'm gonna do what Julie said.
I don't know if Julie's trying to ask this, but I think all of us want to know how you got upgraded to first class, but okay.
We all want to know the secret, Quintina.
No, but that's great. There's so many signs in the airport that we can't see. So, I mean, it definitely helps to just ask for the assistance. Plus, then you cut the whole line. I mean, I need to cut in the line. I'm not used to getting upgraded to first class. That's awesome. Teach me that
one. Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do special there? You know, I mean, they usually throw me under the plane with the bags. You know, I don't know how you manage that. You know.
Corinne is cuter than you are.
Hey, that's what I figured. Oh man. I'm gonna tell my mother I'm not the most handsome boy ever. Oh my goodness! But anything's really possible. That Sunday, like I flew down to Houston by myself, you know. So, like it's not a big deal. So, hotel by myself, everything's possible, guys. You know, like I think it's just like trial and error, not being embarrassed about it, or. You know, they do bring out a wheelchair sometimes because of liability purposes. I actually don't mind it, you know, because they carry your bags. And, you know, it's a whole concierge service. I like being special, you know. So they carry you down, pick up all your bags and everything. And it's pretty quick, you know. I mean, I think it's a lot of times finding that nuance with it and getting past the embarrassment or past being shy or past feeling uncertain, you know, like feeling like you're going to bother someone or you can't do something like that. You know, it's just get on with it, you know? That's more my father talking than anyone else, but you know, just get on with it and do what you got to do. So that's been my experience, but.
Yeah, well, adding on to that, we got to get past the embarrassment of using a white cane. If you haven't used one in an airport, it's like parting the Red Sea, trust me. Lissa can attest as well. We've traveled together. It is, you don't have to say a word. People just scatter most of the time. There's people that don't. And Charlotte Airport on Sunday was just crazy. At least getting onto a flight to San Diego. But, you know, if you're traveling alone and you know, having a cane with you doesn't hurt. That's for sure. Because it speaks for you, and people, and Jessica Loomer can attest to this as well. People will offer you help and they'll be very helpful to you because they know you can't see. You don't have to tell anybody. They know you can't see. People will get out of your way. People will move things so you don't run into things. People will offer you a seat. And it's not because they feel bad or feel sorry for you. It's just because it's the nice thing to do. So keep that in mind. Don't be embarrassed about the white cane either.
Maria, I totally agree with that. And I flew a lot before I was legally blind and before I was, you know, got the guts to have my cane. And I was at the point where I really had to fly disabled and, you know, got the call up to get boarded disabled. And somebody yelled out to the gate agent and they said, "She doesn't look disabled." And the gate agent said, "Do you want to ask her what her disability is?" And I was like, "Thank God you just said that because I might blow up right now." But yes, your cane is your, like, it is, yeah, your magic into. So,
yeah. I love that point by both of you. Well, with that, just I want to be respectful of folks who can't stay much longer and give folks the opportunity to ask other questions. So I am going to start wrapping up the main portion of the call, although we can certainly continue this conversation once I get the recording turned off. Jessica, I believe I've given you enough time to be able to get up those list of calls. But before I hand it over to you, I will remind everyone that the next LHON live call, so the next call, just like this one, which will be obviously about different topics and not entirely focused on the conference, but still entirely focused on this LHON community, will be August 2nd. Again, 8 p.m. Eastern here in the U.S., 5 p.m. Pacific, same Zoom link, same dial-in phone number and everything. Between now and then, though, there will be a number of other calls. That's what's happening here, and here's what's happening in your neck of the woods. Is that what I say as I hand it over to you, Jessica? Go for it.
That sounds perfect. I'm actually going to steal the stage for a hot second. A quick shout out, just a quick thank you to, obviously, Maria did a wonderful job at conference, but Jessica Knight, she actually moderated her very first panel on LH1 like live. She does moderate actually the Southeast community. So just a couple of quick shout outs there. And then as always, Lissa, for everything and all the things, LH1. So a couple of quick shout outs there for that are conference related, but I'm just going to jump right into calls coming up for July. So next call we actually have is Wednesday, July 19th, and that's Moms of LH1, and that's kids of all ages. So like I said, mom always says that we're all kids. Wait, is that true? That that's the only call today, this month?
Yep, easy month.
Wow, easy month. All right, well, that just means that when you come in for an August LH1 live call, not only do we potentially have a guest speaker that's going to be amazing, but that means August is going to be jam-packed. So rest up and get excited and get all your questions ready to be able to bring those. And if you happen to have a question that pops up in July and you're not a mom, so there's no other calls set aside, please reach out to the various Facebook channel or Facebook groups. And there's a Facebook group for every single call. So whether it's assistive tech or you're in teens or your specific region or employment, the list really does go on. So if there's something that kind of fits the need that you're looking for or the question, definitely post in there. And then also our LH1, the main group page, is always a huge resource. So check that out. So if we can be of any help in the meantime, let us know.
Right. With that, we'll go ahead and get the recording turned off. Thanks everyone for being here for, what is it? Still July. And we'll chat with you all in August. Hang around and I'll get the recording turned off for us. In 3, 2.
And I'll kind of preface the, so the